Amen. What a powerful song. And, Johanna et al., it was written out of a deep place of brokenness. You know, that's where some of the most powerful songs in our life come from those places of greatest need, because we find Jesus as faithful. For those who are new, my name is Jimmy Seibert. I'm the senior pastor here at Antioch. We're continuing our series called Living Fully Alive. And as a part of that journey, we've been asking everyone to read Romans 8 every day. So for 3 weeks, we're asking people to read Romans 8 every day. We're asking three big questions. What does it say about God? What does it say about me? And what do I do, or how do I obey God? These are just simple questions that help us to learn the Word of God. Many times people come to me and say, man, I don't understand the Word. I'm not sure how to approach the Word of God. Man, just read Romans 8 with us every day and go through that. For those who did not read Romans 8 every day this week, the first scripture is, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there's an opportunity to join with us, even if you read just a few scriptures a day. Let me encourage you to be a part of the journey. Also, what we're doing is, on a daily basis, I have little Insta stories on Instagram out of Romans 8, about a minute and 30 seconds devotional. And then it's also on Facebook. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. But for good, for the glory of God. And one other thing to help us remember is, for those who've been around with us a few years, every spring we do what I call the Red Dot Challenge. If you'll go to your left at the end of each row, that person will pick up the red dots on this little strip, pass them down the line. There's a little red dot sticker, and I want to encourage you, as it comes your way, that you put it on your phone or put it on your iWatch or whatever you're going to look at consistently throughout the day, because this little red dot will remind you of several things. First of all, God is with us. He's present. He's present. It reminds us of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us of the blood of Jesus and His sacrifice for our sin. Those reminders that we need to abide and walk with Jesus are here for you. I've seen some of you guys who've had the same red dot for a whole year on your phone. It's replacement day. And help us all to keep focused and remembering all that God has done for us and that He is with us. All right, well, today we're going to be talking out of Romans 8, about walking with the Holy Spirit. And I want to take you on a little journey of my experience with the Holy Spirit before we jump in to our text for today. The thing that I didn't know was that the Holy Spirit has always been drawing me. Because the desire of God is for all men to be saved and that none should perish. In little ways, the Holy Spirit is wooing and drawing and giving us hints of God's goodness. I remember in eighth grade being invited to really my first kind of official church service where they shared the gospel. I didn't understand what was going on, but something drew my heart. Some questions began to be unearthed. It was the Holy Spirit wooing me and drawing me. And then I remember as a young teenager, about my sophomore year, asking the question, I wonder if God's really real. What I know in retrospect is I didn't come up with that question. I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit was drawing me, was wooing me, saying, you know, you need to ask that question. Am I real? Am I around? And out of that journey, the Holy Spirit then set up, because I did want to know God, I want to know if God's real, He set up a friend to invite me over to his house to listen to a cassette tape. For those who wonder how old I am, it wasn't an 8-track, it was a cassette tape. And he asked me to listen to this cassette tape of a story of a guy who had been radically saved out of drugs and alcohol and come to know Jesus in a powerful way. And he asked me to listen to this story, and he shared the gospel at the end. And for the first time, it all made sense. Wow, so the Holy Spirit set up this occasion. And what else I didn't know the Holy Spirit was setting up is, my brother, who was in college, just happened to be home in the middle of the week that particular day, and he was the only believer in any of our family or extended family. And so I had him there then to ask questions to, and he was able to help lead me to Jesus. It was a divine setup. It was the Holy Spirit wooing me for salvation. And the scripture says this, is when I gave my heart to Jesus, and as I have often said, the mark for me that I came to know Jesus was that I knew I was no longer alone. That all my life, no matter what was going on externally, I had this deep loneliness inside. And when I came to know Jesus, I knew I was no longer alone. That was the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of me. Ephesians 1 says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When we give our lives to Jesus, we say, I am yours, no longer my own, I need you. The Holy Spirit comes in and seals us with the promise of God. Well, my brother left town, and I didn't know that many believers, and I didn't really know what it meant to walk with God. And so what happened was I knew God was with me, and so those next several months, I found myself sinning a little less, not partying quite as much, not quite as mean as I used to be, having some kind of conviction at times about different lifestyle issues. I wasn't totally transformed, but the process was beginning because I had the Holy Spirit there to help me in the journey. So I come to Baylor, and even that, I realized that the Holy Spirit was always involved, even in my decision-making. He was helping me with decisions, even when I didn't know how to make good decisions. And I prayed a simple prayer, God, do I go to this school or do I go to that school? And best I knew, I felt like I should go to this particular school. I should go to Baylor. And when I came, I began to meet people who actually knew God. And so now the Holy Spirit was opening up my eyes to see what was out there. And the first big stunning deal was Christian music. And I had heard one Christian song, or one little Christian tape before then. It was called B.J. Thomas, Happy Man. For those who are laughing, you remember Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head? BJ got saved, by the way, had a little cassette that he put out, and that's all I'd heard. And so then I was introduced to the Imperials, and I was introduced to Amy Grant. And I mean, like, this was like, wow, there's something different about this music, and I wanted more of that music than my old music, because the Holy Spirit was testifying that this is worship. So there was a lot of good stuff going on. So I'm learning how to learn the things of God. I start going to Bible studies, start trying to be less of a sinner. I find myself being a little bit of a better person, a little nicer. Things are starting to click here a little bit, but I'm still struggling a lot because I think, man, I don't want to sin, but I keep sinning. And how do I really walk with the Holy Spirit? And so a friend from Campus Crusade gave me a little blue booklet that the founder of Crusade had put together called The Spirit-Filled Life. And it was a little blue book, and in this little blue book, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And his little process was this. When you sin, pause, confess your sin to God, breathe out the sin, and breathe in the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk with wine, but continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that was being filled with the Holy Spirit. The only problem was I was sinning so much, I was hyperventilating. You know, it got a little dizzying at times. So it was a great concept. I just decided to focus more on God than my sin, and things started working out a little better. All right. So now, here we go. I'm learning to walk with God. I'm learning how to confess my sins, find God faithful in that. But now the next phase I call surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And that is this. I don't want to just be a better person. I don't want to just be nicer. I just don't want to know a little bit about God. I want my whole life to be yours. The surrender to the Holy Spirit makes things tangible, makes things intimate, makes him real. Because it's one thing to use the Holy Spirit to be a better person, or to use the Holy Spirit for salvation, or to use the Holy Spirit to get goosebumps every once in a while. But it's another thing to submit to the Holy Spirit. And as I've often said, during college, I had this window of a summer where I really surrendered everything to Jesus. I put away all the distractions, all their worldly desires and pleasures. I put them all aside, said, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to talk with God. I'm going to find out who he is. And I found him to be more intimate than I could ever have imagined. I found that when I put aside the distractions that he became so real and intimate, I was blown away. I tasted and saw that the Lord was good. And his tenderness and his kindness and his nearness was always present. I wasn't grasping for the Spirit of God. He was with me always. In the richness of that relationship, he moved from the Holy Spirit or a part of God or a helper to me, he moved from that to a friend. The Holy Spirit became my friend. Just as Jesus is our friend, just as the Father is our friend. It moved from an it to a person. And that's what it's all about, right? The person of the Holy Spirit, because he does live within, inside of us. He is here. He is present with me. If you know the Lord, he is present with you. We just have to acknowledge that relationship, and we have to walk with him, not for our sakes, not just for our sakes, but for honor to him. We want to be his friend, not just to get him to be our friend. So then I came back to school, and I began to read the book of Acts. They said these were the acts of the Holy Spirit. Somebody told me that. So I began to read the book of Acts, and I began to see the power of God. I began to see that people get healed and people get delivered and people have dreams and visions and encounters with God that seem, wow, out there. And I realized I got a lot of friends that have a lot of need, and we could use some of that power. That was always my idea about the power of God. It wasn't just I need to get something to prove that God's with me, or I need more goosebumps. It was people need help, and God gives gifts of the Holy Spirit to set people free. Let's get them. Let's get everything that we can from the Holy Spirit, because we need power on our lives to not only live victorious lives, but to help people who are in desperate need. We can't get out of it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I began to pursue the power of the Holy Spirit. And anybody I knew that I thought had the power of the Holy Spirit on their lives, I had them lay hands on me, as it says in the book of Acts. And people, I'd give them lay hands on me, pray that same power would come on me. I would read over and over again the acts of God throughout the book of Acts. And I'd say, I want that, Lord. I want this. I remember praying for someone. I started praying for the sick and not seeing much results, and just kept reading over the passage of Scripture. And I remember praying for a friend of ours, a gal who had Epstein-Barr disease. That's kind of like a hyperfibromyalgia. And we prayed for her, and she was miraculously healed. I mean, like, we prayed for her one evening, and the next week she had been miraculously healed after years of Epstein-Barr. I remember Laura burnt her hand. We were dating. She burnt her hand on a stove. And I mean, literally, it welled up like this. I just put my hand, I said, in Jesus' name, heal her. And whew, it all went down before our eyes. God began to move in power, and those powerful encounters made me say, golly, I want more, because I was able to help her and help her. And Lord, all the gifts of your Spirit, there's nothing I don't want, because people need help. I need help. Come, Lord. So I experienced the power of God in that journey. And some of that also would translate into meeting with God in unique ways. I remember my roommates and I, we were all on this journey together, and we would come home anytime between classes, and we'd say, hey, let's pray. And we would get on our knees, this old nasty green couch. I remember that couch. Well, we'd get on our knees, and we would pray. We would just call to the Lord. And this particular day, my buddy and I were having this conversation after we were learning so much. We were saying, who's right? Are these charismatic theologians right? Are these conservative Bible teachers right? Who's right, Lord? We need to know which way to go. And we both get on our knees to pray, and he and I had a simultaneous spiritual vision. Now, whether you believe in this or not, you weren't there. I was. So this is what happened. My buddy comes from a very conservative background, by the way. So we're there together, and I said, I'm seeing a picture in my mind. He said, so am I. And I said, what are you seeing? And he said, I see Jesus walking down the road. And I said, I see Jesus walking down the road as well. And in this picture, there were ditches on the right and the left. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to us that people have veered to the right in the hyper-charismatic. People have veered to the left, if you will, in conservative truth apart from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was speaking to us, you follow me. When you follow me, you're not going to fall on the right side of the ditch or left side of the ditch. You're going to have it all because you're walking with me. And if it looks like me, do it. If it is like me, be a part of it. Whatever is me, that's what you're after, not the right or the left. Do you understand what I'm saying? It transformed our lives at 20 years old. We're both now in our 54 years old. Today, we still go back to that. That is a place where it all made sense. If it's Jesus, I'm in. If it's not, I'm out. Amen. Therefore, we believe in the power and the healing and the resurrection, because that's who Jesus is. We believe in truth to set people free. We believe in not seeking experience, but seeking a person. this journey has been kind of a foundational deal for me. And because I was so excited by the Holy Spirit and knew I would not have enough time to talk about everything, I put up a little bookmark in your bulletin today about several scriptures of the Holy Spirit I'd like for you to know that we're not going to get to today. All right, you ready? So Romans 8, because we're Romans 8, that's where we're going to dwell here for a little bit of time. Starting in verse 5, talking about walking in the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Everybody say life and peace. Life. That's what we're after. Verse 7, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow, a lot of bad news there. Good news right in the middle. And the good news is that God is after life and peace, but we've got some things to work through. So let's unpack that. In those four verses, the word mind or mindset is used four times. Isn't that amazing? In these four verses, the word set your mind, have the mind of, adapt your mind. It's all about having the right mindset if you're going to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit. And we want to learn to do that because that's where life and peace is. So let me pause for a minute, and hopefully this is review for you, but my prayer is today we'll really get it, all right? So here's the deal. When sin came into the world in Genesis 3, they were warned not to take of the tree in the garden that was called the knowledge of good and evil. Because once they ate of that fruit, then they would no longer see God for all that He is. They would now size life up between good and evil. And God did not intend for you to look at life whether you're good or evil. He intended for you to walk with Him, which would make you good always. All right? Now that's deep theology, so let me unpack it. Again, all of us, apart from the grace of God and apart from connection with God, wake up every morning subconsciously hoping our good outweighs our bad. Today I want to be a good person. In this situation I want to be a nice person. I want to be an honoring person. I want to help somebody. When we do those good things, we feel good about ourselves. But too often we have these undercurrents of the junk in our lives, and we say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, act the wrong way. We get disappointed in ourselves, we get disappointed in others, and it's a rare day when our good fully outweighs our bad. And so it's this vicious cycle that we live in of hoping our good outweighs our bad so that we're worth something in the end, or we felt like we were valuable. But God never intended for us to live on that treadmill of condemnation and self-exaltation. You either go to high self-righteousness or absolutely a despair, because you're not made to live life in good and evil. You're made to life to live with the good one, to walk out His will and His purpose, and out of that to enjoy the journey. Let me say it another way. Paul says here that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He talks about the blessing and the benefits throughout Romans 8, that you are a child of God by God's choosing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. All these promises and affirmations are throughout Romans 8. But here's what he's saying. Unless you walk in the Spirit, you will not experience them in reality. You won't experience what you don't walk in. You've got to walk in the Spirit. Is the key to bring you back to the garden the way that God intended you to walk and talk with Him, enjoy Him, and then out of that express righteousness and goodness instead of doing the best I can to hope I outrun condemnation today. Anybody with me? If you're kind of with me, say, I'm not sure, but it sounds good. Just at least give me a nod, all right? The goal, I want you to be a better person, okay? So please be good no matter what you're coming from, right? We don't need more badness. However, the goal is not just for you to be a better person. The goal is for you to be His person, her person, to be so enamored and caught up in this relationship that you can't help but walk out goodness and loving kindness. And when you do not, instead of condemning yourself, turn back to Him. Thank you for forgiveness. Now, Lord, let me walk with You. This is huge, huge stuff. So that is one mindset. The second mindset that we have to walk in the Spirit is that our sins cannot be just general things that people do, or our sins cannot just be, hey, that's just the way I am. Our sins have to get personal for us to have power over them. Let me say it this way. I hurt my back this week, and I was literally on my back a couple of days, and I found myself very grumpy this week. Now, I could have justified that and said, well, you know, my back hurts. I'm just going to be a grump, and everybody in the house just needs to put up with it. But my impatience and my attitudes were hurting my wife, who I love deeply, who I want to walk with, who I need to walk in unity with. My flesh was causing pain and problems in our relationship. I finally realized this about Wednesday when she told me clearly about that. Now, once she clarified, I understood, and I was also studying for this message, so I had a little help along the way, and I realized my flesh is hurting her. It is hurting our closeness. It is hurting the things that God has for us. That it is a relational piece. I am grieving the Holy Spirit. I am walking in the flesh, but I am hurting a person. Our flesh stinks. It's not just stink. It's terrible. And when we walk in the flesh, it doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. Everybody is affected when we walk in the flesh. Let me say it another way. When I walk in the flesh, the scripture says I am hostile to God. I'm not only grieving my neighbor, my friend, my coworker, my spouse, but I'm also grieving the heart of God. Does that mean that he doesn't love me? Absolutely not. He can't not love me because he can't not be himself. Does it mean he won't forgive me? Of course he'll forgive me. Does it mean I'm not his child? Of course I'm his child, but I'm breaking the fellowship. Our relationship is secure based on the cross of Jesus, but our fellowship is broken by my actions and attitudes. Y'all missed that. All right. Your relationship is secure because of the grace of God and his work on the cross, but your fellowship or communion is hindered by your actions and attitudes. My flesh stinks in my relationship with God, and our intimacy is broken, not because God didn't want to be intimate, but because I want to be fleshly. All right. Since y'all still don't believe me, let me give you a little more. Galatians chapter 5. If you guys are saying, well, golly, Jimmy walks in the flesh a lot. I don't know what, that's not my experience. Here's what it says in verse 19 of Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So if there's an opposition going on when we're walking in the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law or not in the flesh. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Here's your list, right? Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. Have we got you yet? I hope so. Carousing. And if Paul's saying, just in case you don't, if you've got something else on the list, and things like these, all right? And things like these, of which I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it doesn't mean that you won't be saved, but what it means is you won't tap into the kingdom of the glorious King. You won't live in that realm of his righteousness and joy and peace that he provides. The promises of God are those who walk with God, not those who walk against God. And that long list and things like these is us living life our way instead of God's way. And it's not just a common plight, though it is a common plight. It's not just, hey, I get it, we all get it. And we can all day long get it, but that'll still keep us from intimacy with God and loving one another well. And my goal is to be intimate with God. If your goal is to be justified with God, you're not going to walk with God. Say that again. If your only goal is to be justified with God, you're not going to walk with God on a daily basis. I know I'm saved by grace. I know that he'll forgive me, but I want to walk with God. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to be intimate with him. I want to have a loving relationship with my wife. I want to love the people I walk with. I want to honor the people I'm with. I want to bear fruit in every good work. I want the other list: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here's the deal. The light ought to be going off on the dashboard. Woo, woo, woo. When there's not love, joy, peace, and patience, when there's all the other lists going on, it's time to stop and get reconnected to the one I love and the one who loves me, so that I can in turn love those around me. All right, one more shot at it. The flesh stinks. Now, every year we get deer meat. Either I go hunting with some friends or somebody gives us some deer meat or whatever, and we've got a freezer down in our garage, which is kind of like a basement. We have a freezer down in the garage, and we had a bunch of deer meat in there. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. I had a bunch of deer meat in there. We also had, I don't know why, but Abby's wedding cake, you know, that you save for years to come, and a little bit of ice cream for some reason in this one particular freezer. Well, it was June, and I went down to get some meat out of the freezer. And as I walked in, there was a unique odor in the garage. What is that? It smells like dead flesh. Not sure what it is. It's affecting the whole garage already. And I walk over and I look, and the freezer's been unplugged. And of course, I holler upstairs, "Lord, did you unplug the freezer?" That's the flesh, by the way. Which she appropriately said, "Oh, of course I did. Yeah, that's what I did. I unplugged the freezer." That's, you know, flesh to flesh there. So, she comes down there, and we have several people that live with us and come and go, and so somebody, whoever it was, never fessed up, unplugged that. If you're here today, and you lived with us at that time, and you did that, you can get right with God after the service. All right, so, So, I mean, it's June. It is boiling hot and nasty, right? So I get, Daniel was there, our son. I said, "Hey, we got to get this out of here." And so I backed the truck up, and I said, "Daniel, help me pick this up." And we pick it up, and it's kind of sloshy in there. And we pick it up. It tilts towards me, and the juice drips over onto my shirt. And, I mean, Daniel lets go of the freezer. It was already at the top of the truck, so I'm left to myself, right? So I push it up there. They choose to drive in the truck while I stand in the back of the truck holding on to the freezer. We go out on the land a little bit, and I'm able to dump all the junk out. Nasty. They let me do that by myself as well. And then, and I'm a little cheap. You know, we had paid $50 for this freezer at a garage sale, and we needed to save it. So we put Clorox in it for a couple days, let it sit. Still stunk. I went to a friend who had all these special chemicals. We spent 2 days with that. It still stunk. And so eventually we just had to throw it out because the flesh had gotten so into the freezer that it was beyond repair. Your flesh is not just a few little deeds you do. It is permeating everything, and it stinks, and it's affecting all of us. And until you get rid of it, we're going to keep having problems. Now, I did have a friend afterwards pull me aside and said, "Hey, I have been able to save a freezer that got unplugged." And I said, "How do you do it?" He said, "You got to leave it out in the sun for 3 days. The sun will take out the smell." Whoa, there it is. Right? The Son of God. There it is. All right, you got it. You got it. It will take the flesh out. That was good, wasn't it? But I think you got the point, okay? So let me just take it. As long as I'm under your grill, let's go all the way. Let's just remove the engine here. All right, so I've kind of got this deal. And I'm going to say it anyway. All right. It's what I call the cussing Christian. Okay. Now, here's what I want to say about the cussing Christian. If you're one of those, we all are at times. So I just want to confess we're all sinners. But here's the deal. For years in America, there was a religious spirit. There was this deal of, you know, I'm going to be self-righteous. I'm not going to be honest with who I am. I'm going to act like I'm something that I'm not. And so you kind of have a religious spirit, and nobody really wanted to be around people. Then we swung over to, I'm just going to be authentic. That the glory is, I'm going to be authentic. And when I want to cuss or eat or drink or smoke or whatever I want to do, I get to do it because I'm being real at least, and people appreciate reality. All right, now, It is one thing for you to be upset and need to vent and be authentic with me. Yes, this is what I feel like. And if you need to cuss when you're expressing that, so I know the pain or the challenge you're in, that's fine. As long as you end with, but that's not good. But I don't need to live in this authentic cussing place. I need to bring that to the cross because I'm to be like Jesus and not just be who I am and everybody just needs to put up with it. All right, if the shoe fits, wear it, man. Here we go. So here's the deal. I want you to be authentic. Be honest. We need to be honest with one another, with our thoughts and our feelings that are not like God. But then make sure you let us know that it's not God for you to live there. Because you see, here's the deal. Jesus was called a friend of sinners. They loved him because of his authenticity and his purity, and he could put up with their junk. These were unbelievers, but he didn't sin to be their friends. Say that again. He didn't sin to be their friends. It was his purity, his holiness, and his ability to see past their sin that drew them to him. And so what happens is we throw off the religious spirit, but we become hypocrites on the other side. I say I walk with God, but I cuss and do whatever I want whenever I want, and everybody just needs to put up with it. No, that's called the flesh, and that breaks the heart of God. Listen, when I am venting or whatever it is, I'm not experiencing the intimacy of God. When I am in bitterness, when I am raging, when I'm living for myself instead of for God, that is not drawing the Holy Spirit near. That is not me walking with God. I want to walk with Jesus. And of course, I'm a human, and it's okay to be honest with what we feel, but not to live there as an excuse that, well, I'm a child of God, I can do whatever I want, and if you say anything to me, you have a religious spirit. We're so afraid to challenge one another in our sin because we have no sense of clarity about what it means to walk with God. If you're walking, not walking with Jesus, then I need to say, hey, that's not Jesus. Instead of say, oh, well, if I say that, they're going to say I'm religious. Who cares? Let me say it again, as long as we're all family here, right? And that is this. My experience has been this. If I'm assuming that someone else is challenging somebody else, I am wrong. I've come to the conclusion, if I don't say it, nobody is. Everybody is so stinking scared of being accused of not being loving. Listen, if I see you in your sin and I see your flesh is hurting your marriage or your family or somebody else, and I don't say anything, I am unloving. Amen. Because I'm wanting to protect myself instead of care for you. We have to call a spade to get free. All right. There we go. Now, I've done this several times, so let me just kind of do it again because it's the best illustration of walking with the Holy Spirit. Sean Jones, again, the nearest thing to the Holy Spirit in the room right now. All right. So we've done this before, but hang with me because you want to get it this time, all right? So here's the deal. Wherever I go, the Holy Spirit's with me. I am saved by grace, and the Holy Spirit lives within me. So wherever I go, I can't get rid of him. I'm pretty quick, but I couldn't get rid of him because he's with me by grace. And when I worship, whoo, he worships. When I pray, he prays. When I'm nice, it's his kindness. When I need comfort, he loves me so sweetly. I mean, this is a glorious relationship. When I need power, he lifts me up. Wow, powerful. This Holy Spirit is amazing. But when I walk in the flesh, I resist him. The scripture says I am hostile towards God. I want to do what I want and win all that. That's hostility towards God. He's trying to help me, but I'm like, no, I'm going to live how I want. Forget you. He's trying to speak to me about what to say. La, 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 la. No, I'm going to walk in the flesh and say whatever I want because I'm an authentic Christian. Get out of my face, Holy Spirit. I'm going to do whatever I want. So you know how that works, right? Now, here's the deal. I want to walk with the Holy Spirit. And even when I'm venting, Holy Spirit, I'm venting, help me change my ways. There, look at that. But ultimately, here's the goal. All right, get this. It's not me trying to prove the Holy Spirit's with me and just using him to help me. It's me actually walking with him. The goal is to go from him helping me to me walking with him. I'll get all the help I need if I walk with him. Because when he worships, I worship. And when he prays, I pray. And when he's moving, I'm right with him. And when I need love and power, I just hang on, right? I mean, he's got everything I need. He carries me through life. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here right now, not in a general sense, though he is here in a general sense, but in a very specific sense. Let's go on with a few more scriptures. Romans 8, verse 9 says this. But however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Let's go positive. For those who do have the Spirit of God, you belong to him. Isn't that great? It's beautiful. Now I'm on to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. Now, I've been saying this the last couple weeks, but I don't think you've got it, so I got to say it again. And that is this. You do not have a junior's Holy Spirit, and I have a senior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. If you just gave your life to Jesus, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The full Holy Spirit of God has been deposited inside of you just as it has for me. Now, I may know the Holy Spirit a little better. I may have been walking with the Holy Spirit. I may kind of, you may see more of the Holy Spirit in my life than maybe where you are right now. But that doesn't minimize the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't minimize the Spirit of God. You have access. That's why the scripture over and over says, choose this day whom you will serve. Consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God. Sin does not have master over you because you don't have a junior Holy Spirit to help you. You have a full, powerful Holy Spirit inside of you. In Romans 8, 11, it says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. If the Holy Spirit of God that literally blew out the grave and raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you according to the Word of God, then you got enough to choose righteousness instead of unrighteousness. You got enough to access God instead of your flesh when you need it. You have enough of the presence and the power of God to lay hands on the sick, to care for people, to contend in prayer, to be a kingdom person for the glory of God, to walk with Jesus and not go on the right side or the left side of the ditch. This is the gospel. It is the good news is an understatement. It's the greatest news of all time. That not only Jesus died, buried, rose from the grave, and ascended to the Father, that we might have salvation, but that we might have his presence. Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it's greater advantage that he would rise again and ascend to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could be with us. And you know why? Because Jesus was a time and space person. He couldn't be everywhere all the time in his earthly body. But through the Holy Spirit, he can be with you always. Everywhere, anywhere, no matter what the situation is, no matter how bad it is, how dark it is, no matter what you got yourself into, with calling out in a moment, he's there. The Holy Spirit. Make him your best friend. Make him intimate. Get it clear. I want to love him. I want to know him. I want to love people. And to do that, I got to walk in the Spirit. And when we stumble and fall, which we all do, when we find ourselves cussing again as a Christian or whatever it is, we come to the throne of grace and we say, Lord, I know there's power not to live like this. Come on. Help me. Loving kindness and joy and peace, let that flow again like a river. I submit to you and not to self. Let me end with just a quick review / how would you walk this out day by day. I want to take you back to when we had little kids, four little kids at home, and we would wake up every morning, Laura and I would figure it out to make sure that every morning we got time in the Word, worship, and prayer individually. Because if we didn't, we were grumpy parents at the least, bad parents at the worst. We needed the Holy Spirit. We needed God. We needed His Word. So we rearranged our lives, worked it out to support each other to get there. But what would happen invariably is that the flesh would start early. It would be something like this. I'd get out of bed, step on a Lego, right? And the cussing Christian would come out, would say something like that. And I would say, Laura, why'd you leave the Lego on the floor? She's like, oh yeah, that's what I did. I put it right there so that you could step on it. Hurt yourself, that's it. Because I was mad about last night, that's why. No. She's like, really? Yeah, I said, okay, I repent. Walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. We'd get that time with Jesus. We'd kind of get synced up and everything else. We'd go to the kitchen table. We'd have family devotions. Kids are screaming and crying and crazy things going on and everything else. Get it together. And then they're saying, no, Dad, you get it together. Right, so, all right, kids, we're all going to repent. We're all going to submit to the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask God. We'd always start off with, what are you thankful for? So we got the day started right. Then I get into the car, and I got a couple of choices. I can listen to talk radio and listen to people gripe and complain about everything under the sun, or I can put on some worship and fill my spirit to get ready for the day. If anything was convicting, that just was. All right, so I need to fill up my heart, because whatever my job is, wherever I'm walking into, it needs the presence of God. It needs the life of Jesus. And the only way they're going to get the life of Jesus is by him being filled up. And if I gripe and complain, it grieves the Holy Spirit. If I worship and pray, it exalts the name of God, and I come in full and ready. And whatever that day holds, whatever business meeting or complex issue, the Holy Spirit has wisdom and counsel, the scripture says. Whatever relationship, somebody needs an encouragement, needs help, who knows, one encouragement, one affirmation, or one conflicting conversation done under the power of the Holy Spirit, who knows what'll break through in my business or my work or whatever. And then I come home, and on the way home, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what was Laura's day like? What does she need? Whenever I would do that, I would come in joyful, I'd come in helpful, and we'd have a great day. Whenever I came in, man, I'm really tired, can't wait to get home so everybody can serve me, leave me alone, let me do what I want to do. By the way, fellas, that doesn't work. Just want to let you know early, all right, if you haven't figured that out. But by asking the Holy Spirit for power and grace to be loving and kind and everything else, I was ready for when we would get home. And then I would say, all right, what do we need to do tonight? Lord, what would bring your presence? What would delight you? What would be life-giving? And when we would do that, we would experience life. And we would just walk in our flesh, we'd experience death. It was so clear, so obvious. The harder choice was to choose life, actually. The harder choice was to be different than the world. The harder choice was to be more intentional around the Spirit of God instead of the spirit of self. But every time we made that choice, we were grateful and thankful. And my goal was to put my head on a pillow at night and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your sweetness. Thank you for all you've done today. And to be at peace that I'd walked with God. And wherever I didn't, I simply just said, Lord, forgive me. Make today a better day. No condemnation. But I'm walking with a person. I didn't just come to the end of the day and say, well, it was a good day or a bad day based on whether my good outweighed my bad. It was, did I walk with Jesus? Did I walk with the Holy Spirit? And if I did, there was life. And can I just say, that's what God has for you, life and not death. God has hope and help. He has grace and mercy. He has abundance. He has life for all of us if we simply choose to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So let's do it this week. Romans 8, look at it, meditate on it. Let's walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh and find His friendship is enough for us. Let's stand together. If our prayer teams could come quickly to the front, be available. Now, everybody hang with me, because this is the Holy Spirit moment. This is where we respond to what the Holy Spirit's speaking to our hearts. This is where we say yes to whatever He's convicting us of, and our response produces grace for us and for everyone else. So I want to encourage you here in a moment. I'm asking everybody to pray, and you're going to be asking the Lord, Holy Spirit, what I need to respond to. There's also another group here in the room, and you may not know Jesus, that wooing of the Holy Spirit, He's been drawing. You're not here by mistake. You're here by His choosing. And the scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you need to be saved today from your sins, I'm going to pray with you in a moment. But I know for a lot of us in the room, we say, look, I want to walk in the Spirit, but it seems so foggy, so dark, so difficult right now. I need help. And you know what? We're all there at times. And that's why we have each other. we pray for one another, Scripture says, so we might be healed, or so that the yoke off of us might be broken off. But it comes through humbling ourselves to one another and praying for each other. We're not here to play religious games. We're here to help people. So if you feel this morning you can't see straight, you can't think straight, your physical body's broken down, something's broken down, and you need that veil to be lifted, then I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, start stepping out, come up here for prayer. If the Holy Spirit's leading you to get help, then come on. Don't let anybody or anyone stop you from getting the help that you need this morning, because we want to pray for you and get you out of the fog and into His presence so that you have that grace to walk forward. Now, here we go. People are coming down for prayer. The rest of us, let's just close our eyes right now. And you're asking the Holy Spirit, how do I respond? What do I need to respond to? Or if you need Jesus, I want to take you to Him right now. If you need to know Jesus, pray this simple prayer with me. Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, you can pray it right after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I need you. Just pray it right with me. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And I give my life to you. Right now, I give my life to you. I am yours, Lord. I am yours. Now, wherever you are, any man, woman, or child who called on the name of the Lord, just raise your hand wherever you are. I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for every man or woman who's called on your name to experience the height, the width, the breadth, and the depth of your love right now. God, thank you for salvation, that whoever calls on your name is saved by grace. And I just speak that grace over every heart that's calling on you right now. And I thank you that the angels in heaven rejoice when one person turns their heart back to the one who created them, back to you, Lord Jesus. So I bless my friends who are calling on your name. Now, as we worship here in this moment and seal the work of God in our hearts, would you please just respond in whatever way the Holy Spirit would lead you, there in your seat or coming down. We'll make sure that there are leaders up here for you. Up on the deck up there, we have prayer partners. You can turn around and walk right up there, and someone will be there to pray for you up in the mezzanine area. But whatever you do, respond to Jesus in this moment. Don't miss this moment to find God's grace is sufficient for whatever your need is.